Can you give us and the audience a little bit of a sort of a 101 on what was going on at Princeton? I presume the experiment is still going on. I think it's on the web. People can actually log on and see the little eggs chirping away. That experiment is still underway, correct?
It's still going, yes. Yeah, you're talking about the Global Consciousness Project.
Right.
This is a worldwide project where we have random number generators. These are electronic circuits that generate zeros and ones. That's all they do, randomly. And they're operating 24/7, and every 5 minutes they send a summary of their data up to a server at Princeton. This has been running now for 8 years, and it's part of a experiment looking at the relationship between mind and matter, where the mind is the attention of the world, and the matter is this random network that we have circling the globe.
All right, so these little computers, you call them, I think Princeton calls them eggs.
Right.
Are nothing more than, as you point out, random number generators. Are they really random, Dean? That would seem, it sounds like an easy job, but it isn't all that easy, is it, to actually make it random?
To make a truly random device is more difficult than it may seem.
Uh-huh.
It's true, because if you have some kind of circuit that is not shielded, for example, then if somebody brings a magnet or some other source of electromagnetism there, it could influence the generation of the bits.
Exactly.
So these circuits are designed so that they're in metal cages. Metal cages are grounded to the PC. They operate on the battery output, or they're a controlled power supply from the PC and lots of other things to ensure that it is as random as we know how to make.
Okay. And these eggs are located in how many parts of the world? How many altogether?
There are 65 now. There are actually a little bit more than that, but there's about 65 are active at any given time.
Okay.
They're typically attached to, we have hosts around the world, people who have a PC which is attached to the Internet, and it's just a little device that sits in the back of the PC and just keeps going all day long.
Okay. Spitting out random numbers. And then the key to all of this, I guess, is when they start to become non-random. That has meaning. That has some kind of meaning, and I guess we're not altogether sure just yet what that meaning is, or are we?
Well, the experiment was started as a result of testing a hypothesis. So we have at least some guidance on what we think we're doing. The hypothesis is that mind and matter are related in some way. We don't know whether mind gives rise to matter, or maybe matter gives rise to mind. But there is a relationship between the two. That's the hypothesis. And so if there is that hypothesis, and in essence you have the equivalent of an equation with some sort of equal sign between mind and matter.
Right.
So if mind suddenly becomes very coherent, and the coherence we're talking about is all of the minds become aligned in some way, then we can assume that because of the equal sign between mind and matter, that matter must also become coherent in some way. So what we look for then are large-scale world events where we can infer that a large percentage of the world has become coherent by virtue of their attention on one particular event. And then we see whether or not the random network remains random, or does it become patterned?
All right, and you've got 8 years under your belt now, Princeton does, of doing this. What I know in certain instances, for example, 9/11, mm-hmm. you've got to remember a lot of the audience is not familiar with what we're talking about right now, because it's really been some time. So, for example, at 9/11, I know that all of this is graphed. There's an actual graph that you can look at.
Right.
And I think, was it 30 minutes or some period of time prior to 9/11, the graph just took off like sort of a hockey stick.
It took off about 2 hours before the first plane hit the World Trade Center. And there were a number of other anomalies. There's a very strange sequence of non-random events that occurred in the random network that day. It basically was not behaving randomly. And in fact, a way to describe what happened is with a tsunami detector, the way that it would work is you put a whole bunch of buoys scattered throughout the ocean, and you monitor their height. And most of the time, the height, the average height of all the buoys is random, because they're separated sometimes by thousands of miles, and you wouldn't expect the heights to correlate.
Right.
But if a tsunami occurs, then the whole ocean rises and then drops again, and you'd be able to detect that by looking at these very large, slow correlations among the buoys. So the Global Consciousness Project, then, in a metaphorical sense, is measuring the movement of consciousness. It's the ocean of consciousness.
Oh, that's a very good analogy.
And so if a wave of attention comes along and pushes this entire ocean of consciousness, that's what we're detecting in the eggs. The egg, by the way, stands for electrogyogram, and it's a little play on the term electroencephalogram.
Uh-huh.
So just as you put electrodes in somebody's head to make an electroencephalogram, in this case we put electrodes on Gaia's head, meaning the Earth, and we create an electrogyogram. That's where the word egg came from.
All right. So, and again, you mentioned that these are shielded very carefully against any external electromagnetic influence of any sort, and that's understandable, but that also means that whatever is affecting these eggs is either beyond in frequency or affect electromagnetism.
Well, it actually goes beyond simple electromagnetic shielding, because there are other things that can affect random output. For example, component aging could affect it, temperature could affect it, possibly proximity of a person, all kinds of things. So we need to rule that out as well. And the way that we rule out what might be called mundane environmental effects is by putting on the output of the raw random stream, we put a logical XOR. This is an exclusive OR logic gate. And the raw output is matched against a series of alternating zeros and ones through this logic sequence. And what this does is it removes any mundane drift in the output. So the way to think of an egg, a better way to think of the egg is it's a black box which is designed in such a way that the output will be as theoretically perfect randomness. That's the way that these things are devised. And the disadvantage of this kind of design is that it then becomes very difficult to know what's happening in terms of the physics. We don't really know what's happening in terms of the physics of the device, of what's being pushed around to make it not random.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But the advantage of it is that we know that whatever is going on is not a normal physical influence. It's got to be something else.